But first, it's been a year since the Office of Federal Procurement Policy released and accepted comments on its draft circular concerning category management. With almost no activity on that circular over the past year, could OFPP be taking a less permanent way to further this approach to buying? Well, in his weekly feature, The Reporter's Notebook, executive editor Jason Miller's got an exclusive look at a new draft memo focused on demand management and best-in-class contracts, and he joins me now with more. And Jason, before we get into the substance of this memo, does this look like a backing off or a changing of the policy that was from the Obama administration for consolidated buying and all of that?
It's really hard to say, Tom, whether it's a backing off or a changing. I think the circular, and I think I headlined it when I wrote the story about a year ago, that it was a little premature. I think that they were excited about category management. They saw the potential in category management. But a circular is, you know, that's a permanent thing. I mean, if you think about the circulars, A130 or A123, I mean, these are things that are heavy. And I'm not sure category management maybe was heavy enough in terms of the impact it can have across the government.
But this was a circular that originated in the Ann Rung, Barack Obama era for OFPP.
Absolutely. But this administration, the Trump administration, has still been very supportive of category management. I mean, Tom, it's mentioned in the IT modernization strategy. It's mentioned even in the cybersecurity executive order where category management can be used as a tool. So I don't think it's a change of focus. I just think that I think OFPP maybe backed off and said maybe a circular is not the right way to go based on comments. And this memo, again, less permanent, not as, I'll use the term again, heavy, but maybe just more how can we institutionalize this to move forward?
And what does the draft memo call for? And you got your hands on it before it's out.
So actually, I didn't get my hands on a copy of the memo. I tried my best, but I did talk to several people who have seen the memo, who have commented on the memo, and those government sources tell me there's two focus areas. There's demand management, and then there's the use of best-in-class contracts. Let me start with demand management, because I think that's the easy one and the one that I think most people seem to agree with. This is the idea of agencies looking at their data and making decisions based on data. What are they buying, who they're buying it from, and how can we ensure that we're getting the best price, best terms and conditions? Again, what's our demand and how do we manage that demand? The second piece of this, Tom, is really what's more controversial and really what the memo really was more about, according to my sources, is this idea of best-in-class contracts. Now, over the last year and a half or so, the General Services Administration and OFPP have been leading an effort to name existing contracts what they call best-in-class. And there's a set of criteria that they use to determine what is, what they say, best-in-class. And I'm going to go through that criteria real quick, Tom.
And by the way, best-in-class doesn't just apply to GSA contracts.
No. There's 29 of them across government, and NASA SUP is one, the NIH CIOSP3 is one, and then there's several others. But a lot of them are GSA, whether it's Alliant or OASIS. But the criteria that they're using is very broad, and I think that's where the concern is starting from. Allows acquisition experts to take advantage of pre-vetted government-wide contract solutions. Supports the government-wide migration to solutions that are mature and market-proven. Assist in the optimization of spend within the government-wide category management framework, and increase transactional data that's available for the government to understand their buying behavior. Very broad, very supportable criteria. But as I've talked to sources both in government and industry sources, they're saying, whoa, that seems to comply to every contract, and including the GSA schedules. And I think there's a lot of concern that how can you call something like the GSA schedules a best-in-class vehicle when, let's be honest, almost anyone can get on a GSA schedule, and those terms and conditions and prices are for a quantity of one. And really what it takes is for you or me or someone in government, when they buy off the GSA schedule, to really negotiate the price based on quantity. So if you buy one, it's a dollar, but if you're buying 10, it's 90 cents. If you're buying 100, it's 50 cents. And that's where that task order comes in. And that's the concern. Are they using the right criteria for best in class?
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. And so what suggestions have you been hearing? Do people already have a reaction to this uncirculated yet draft memo?
There is some reaction. There's a lot of concern. I think the other piece of it that's a big concern is OFPP wants to set goals for agencies to use these best-in-class contracts. So, for instance, and we're going to make this up because we don't have a specific copy of the memo, but let's say they say, well, office supplies, you must buy X percentage from the best-in-class contract for office supplies or justify why you won't. And what I'm hearing from different sources is, well, what does that mean for small business? Is this mandatory? What about already mandatory sources of supply under in the Federal Acquisition Regulation? For instance, if there's two or more contractors that can do the work, it should go to small business. Well, if you're using best in class, that's not a small business contract. What do you do at that point? So there's two things going on here. The other big concern that I've heard, Tom, is why hasn't this been vetted more broadly with the acquisition community? When I say acquisition community, I'm saying both internal to the government, so chief acquisition officers, senior procurement executives, but also more broadly with industry. If you think about some of the other efforts that OMB, OFPP have done over the last year and a half, 2 years, they've really reached out and vetted these policy documents with the industry.
And the industry has had a lot of influence on how they eventually came out, too.
Correct. And I think that's why there's this concern, because what influence have they had or what input have they had on what is best in class? How can you make category management work better?
If it is yet to come out, then maybe that chance will still come for all of these communities to weigh in.
And that's where the sources say, listen, OFPP traditionally has been an organization that has worked very hard with, for instance, the Chief Acquisition Officers Council. But for this one, there's a little bit of a feeling that they've been talked to and you know, they've been talked at and not included in this conversation. So there is a little bit of concern that, okay, we gave comments back, but so what? What are those comments going to do? And I don't think industry knows about this category management draft memo at all. Both the several industry sources I've spoken with, they were unfamiliar with it when I brought it up to them.
Now they do. All right.
And one brought it up to me to say, hey, have you heard about this? And which is why we're doing the story now.
And while we're on the topic of this whole category management and buying systems, I guess we've seen the chopped liver come out of the attachment on the KitchenAid. I'm talking about the National Defense Authorization Act. The conference report is out. And some things have changed from what we understood to be the Amazon Amendment in the 800 section regarding a marketplace for DoD buying. And what does it look like now?
Right. The House version of the NDA had this provision that said GSA will create at least one, more than one, online marketplaces where DoD and others could go buy from commercial products. And the concern here was that this was very tilted toward Amazon and giving almost a $5 billion, almost a $6 billion market toward Amazon. Again, others could participate, but there was this big feeling. The Senate had reached out. We had reported on this last week. The Senate reached out to industry asking for pilot suggestions and other suggestions. And what came in this final conference report is a major change to how this provision will work. Let me just highlight a couple changes, Tom. First of all, it's a two-year plus phase-in, so it's not going to happen right away. Second thing is...
Well, it would take 2 years to build such a thing.
Well, they wouldn't have to build it because Amazon already has it built. It would just have to deal with how to connect to Amazon and the products and services and such like that. The other big change is, so within 90 days, GSA and OMB will develop an implementation plan. Then they'll take a year to come up with a strategy for what that plan would look like and how to make it work. And then another year to actually implement it, looking at all sorts of policies and regulations and changes that have to be made to make this online marketplace successful.
So they've given it enough rope to hang itself.
They have. But unfortunately, they gave it enough rope as well to have people lobby and change the provision to make it happen more quickly. So this is not the end of this conversation. I think we're going to be reporting on this so-called Amazon provision for quite a while.
Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Tom.